Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, named after the fictional small town found in several of author Michael DeCamp's books. This podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll hear interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, performers, and entrepreneurs, sprinkled with friendly banter about any number of topics, all of which attempt to view the world through the lens of creativity. Turn up the volume and enjoy the latest conversations in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm your host, Mike DeCamp. I'm here with
Nancy DeCamp,
my beautiful co-host. She has returned from her world travels and she is back with us.
Yes.
And we're doing a bit of an experiment today. So who are you across the table?
Hey, book friends. This is Nikki with Book Banter with Nikki and Crystal.
And I'm Crystal.
Hey.
Hey. It's nice to be here.
Yes, it is so exciting to be here with you guys doing this experiment.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is an experiment because we're recording this jointly. And then this recording, if you're listening to it, it worked. And we're both going to post it to our individual podcasts. So you get the Cutter's Notch podcast and the Book Banter with Nikki and Crystal.
Yes.
Okay.
This is fun.
This is.
Nikki, I know you have a pen name. Because she's an author.
I do have a pen name. It's Nikki Ray.
Yes.
And it's N-I-C-K-I-R-A-E. There is actually...
There's another Nikki Ray. I know. I looked it up.
There is another Nikki Ray that's
I'm
spelled
sorry.
N-I-K-K-I. However, we do write completely separate genres.
But one of her books was really good, too.
Yeah. She does write very good books.
I will try to contain myself. I tend to interrupt. I get excited and then... It comes out.
That's so. Okay. That's okay.
But yes,
she deals with me all the time. I do the same thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are two Nikki Rays,
yes,
but you're the CK.
I am CK.
All right.
All right. Yes. So we've got that cleared up. Now, if I accidentally slip and use your real last name, you're going to have to let me know and I can clean it up. Okay.
Yes.
But you're Nikki Ray for the purposes of this podcast.
Correct.
And we'll get into her books and whatever she asked me about mine. And then we're going to just talk about podcasting and stuff, artistic stuff we love and that kind of thing for this episode. And I hope that you all enjoy what we do. We're going to take turns running the show a little bit. So, but we're going to start as the Cutter's Notch podcast usually does with our creative indulgences.
Yes.
So Nancy, what's your creative indulgence for this time around? By the way, welcome back.
Gracias. And I will say that my creative indulgence this summer has been, I have been a Duolingo fiend.
Oh.
I took high school Spanish, but hadn't used it much since then. And I've not been around because I spent 4 weeks in Costa Rica this summer.
Oh my gosh.
For
I'm
work.
So jealous.
I was not out. I mean, we had a weekend day each trip to go out and do something. We were long work hours, but I did it to learn Spanish to get back into the swing of it. I was really excited because we're expanding some work with the company that I work for in Costa Rica. And I was asked to go down there to facilitate onboarding because we were expanding a particular area. And I had actually one of the new hires tell me that I had a pretty good accent. So here, I'm going to say something and see if you can figure out what I'm saying. Me enamoré del país y la gente de Costa Rica. It says, I fell in love with the country and people of Costa Rica.
So were you there for 4 consecutive weeks?
No, 2 weeks. I was there 2 weeks, home 2 weeks, there 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I did have a weekend in between and was able, in terms of creative indulgence, we did go to the, we were mostly in San Jose, which is right in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
And we did a couple excursions. The first trip, we took an excursion that went to the Pacific coast to Isla Tortuga, uninhabited but privately used island by several companies, and did some snorkeling and swimming and beach
kind of stuff. Did you see turtles on Turtle Island?
We did not.
Ah, dang.
Right?
Isla de Tortuga is Turtle Island.
It is. It is. But it's shaped like a turtle.
Oh, dang. Too. We're going to have a bilingual podcast.
Yes, we should do that.
And then the
second time I went, we did an excursion where in one day we went to a coffee plantation. We went to a volcano and it wasn't like lava kind. It was like geyser kind, like you think of Yellowstone. And then we went to a place called La Paz Waterfalls, and there was an animal refuge. So we saw like toucans and sloths and monkeys and all kinds of stuff. But then there was a trail that we hiked up and down to see like 7 waterfalls in the rainforest. And that was pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. I'm very grateful that I was given that opportunity. Yeah.
It would have been interesting, though, if you'd been gone for 4 weeks to see what you came back to.
Yeah. That was something.
You'd leave me alone, uncontrolled for 4 weeks.
And you know, it was funny when I talk about Duolingo and indulging the creative indulgence of leaning into Spanish. I remember when the first trip, you know, I got my ear just got so trained to the Spanish while I was there. I could understand it quicker and better than I could speak it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I landed in it because I flew in and out of Atlanta on the first trip. I landed in the Atlanta airport and I heard all this English speaking and I was almost like some kind of syndrome. I was like, I wasn't used to hearing because I was used to hearing Spanish everywhere. There were people are very bilingual in Costa Rica. So, yeah. Everybody spoke English. So it was easy if you didn't understand something, but it was a real culture shock.
And it's difficult to switch your brain back and forth between languages.
Yeah,
I've had issues because I was a preschool teacher for 9 years and we had a little boy in not my class, but one of the other classes that was from South America from, I don't know, sometimes he would say Peru, sometimes he would say Venezuela. He was 5. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was always tasked to be the one to communicate with him. And I would be talking to him and then another kid would ask me a question and I would look at this kid dead in the face and answer them in Spanish. And this kid would be like, Miss Crystal, I don't speak Spanish. And I was like, okay, hang on just a second. I'm really sorry. Let me flip back because I spend half an hour Spanish with this kid.
See, that's how I am with English and Muncie.
Well, and I'll say one of the funny thing is one of the other, my colleagues that went to as an instructor too, she had not leaned into the Spanish much at all, wasn't as familiar, and which was fine. But she went, before we did an excursion, she went across the street to the store. She was going to get some bug spray, but she was like, I don't know where it's at and don't know how to ask for it. So there was a person there that asked if she asked if she needed help. And she took her hand up in the air like a flying insect and buzzed and went like, and then slapped her arm. The lady took her right to the bug spray.
Oh, wow.
I was like, well, that was creative.
Hey, that works.
It pantomime worked.
I bet if you have a lot of American tourists.
I could have swore you were going to say American turds.
That's almost where I went. I don't even know. A lot of American tourists that don't speak the language that you've gotten pretty good at pantomiming.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah. So that's mine. But Mike, what about you?
Oh, me? I get to go next? Okay. I'm actually going to mention 2 or 3 things because I've decided I'm not sticking just to one just to make it a rule. So right now,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess I can sort of do what I want to an extent. But the book I'm reading right now is Chinatown Troubadour, A True Story by Press Maxon. So the last episode we talked about this book.
Yeah, you just talked to him.
And it's a true story. It's sort of a memoir of his search as an adult to find a street musician, an Asian street musician in Paris that he ran across in the 1990s. And he wanted to find him and find out whatever happened to him. Huh. And so I'm about halfway through the book. He hasn't found him yet, according to this, but based on the interview, he did eventually find him. So that I'm looking forward to how that turns out. But I am reading it and I'm enjoying it. I just finished a book called Daylight by David Baldacci.
You like him.
Have you read David Baldacci?
No, I actually haven't heard of him.
Well, you write romance, but he writes like international intrigue and FBI. It's kind of like a Jack Reacher kind of stories, but he puts his own spin on it, has his own character, John Puller. But this one is actually follows a female FBI agent named Atlee Pine. And I made a mistake of jumping in mid-series.
Oh, no.
Which I did that with Jack Reacher, too. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, I read one in the middle, and then I went back to the beginning and read forward. But I think this is the third book in the Atlee Pine series. But it's pretty good. It's intriguing. She's on a search for her twin sister, who was kidnapped when she was 6 years old. And she's trying to track her down. She's on leave from the FBI in this story. She ends up in New Jersey. she runs into John Polar, which is the other series that Baldacci does, and they end up working together to deal with some stuff that's going on in the story. It's really exciting. It's an exciting story, but it took me a little bit of effort to catch up with the storyline that I had missed in the first couple of books, right?
So does it continue, or are they individual stories like that just maybe kind of mentions each other in the books?
They're individual stories that they're the overarching story seems to be her tracking down her sister.
Okay, so that continues throughout the books.
Well, I don't know about the next two, but it's going to go at least one more because she didn't finish finding her. There's an overarching story, and then there's the individual story of the book.
Gotcha.
And so they did complete that. And it was exciting. It was a good book. I enjoy those kinds of thriller, like shoot them up, blow them up, fight them, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that. So that was pretty good. And then I will put an honorable mention in for a TV Netflix show. I think it was, it was Prime.
Okay.
Amazon Prime. It's Ballard. It's the first season of Ballard, which is a female cop in LA. And she has been put in charge of the cold case department because she is on the outs with the department, and they relegated her to the basement to work on cold cases. Really a good storyline. I think there's 8 or 10 episodes. Really, really good.
Okay.
Exciting stories. She segues with Bosch, who is...
Oh, yes. I love Bosch.
If you know Bosch, right? So there's some characters that overflow into this story.
Okay.
And in fact, if you watch the Bosch Legacy series...
I haven't watched that yet.
So the Bosch Legacy series, one of the last episodes, he... has this Ballard detective join him in working on his case. So it's a crisscross.
Oh, so does Bosch go into into Ballard?
He does appear
two
or three times across the course of the series. So yeah, it's pretty good. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I haven't watched Bosch Legacy, but I absolutely love Bosch. I just haven't got to it yet. You know,
Bosch Legacy is really, really good.
Is it?
That's good to know. I mean, it jumps in a little bit of a focus on the daughter.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she grows up and she actually becomes a police officer.
Right.
So I'm not giving anything away. She just does. And then, you know, the storyline with her and stuff that goes on there. And then he has some overarching mysteries that he hasn't uncovered yet. And so, yeah, the Bosch Legacy is really, really good. And then Ballard kind of continues it forward.
You've had a lot of indulgences lately.
I tend to indulge myself. I do.
Well, if you've been gone, he's probably had a lot of time.
Yeah. What else have I got to do?
Well, I could...
No, don't go there.
Did you not leave him a list before you left?
I did give him a couple of things to do. So
yeah, that's not enough. You know, I'm outnumbered here. Right. I got three women to me. So, and I'm in the corner.
You invited us here, okay? Just saying, you invited us.
You put yourself in the corner.
Yeah. Well, some would say that. Yeah.
So Nikki, what about your?
Crystal, what's your indulgences?
I am currently reading a book called Carnal Urges. It is the second book.
A children's book?
No, this is not a children's book. Not this one. It's the second book in a Queens and Monsters series. It's a dark mafia romance series by J.T. Geisinger. Uh-huh. The first book is Ruthless Creatures, which was absolutely phenomenal. So I'm just started to the second book. I'm not very far into it, but I have a feeling it's going to be as good as the first one, if not better.
Awesome.
And then children's books. I read a lot of those. But this week, the favorite was Grumpy Pants. It's about a grumpy penguin. And I picked that one because one of the little girls that I take care of was very grumpy. So I was like, I'm going to bring you a book. And so we read Grumpy Pants. I don't remember the author because
I love children's books.
I've read so many children's books, so many.
Some of them are very creative. I think the best ones are the ones that are just great lyrically and visually for the kids, but has something the adults are like, okay, yes. I get this, you know?
One of my favorite children's authors is Mo Willems.
Yep.
And he writes Nuffle Bunny and Elephant and Piggy. And my favorite is the Pigeon series.
Okay.
But he has one that is not part of a series, I guess a children's standalone book. I don't know. It's called Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs. And Goldilocks ends up in the wrong house on accident. And it's just like, it is so funny. because you can tell that it's a children's book that was written with an adult sense of humor.
Yeah.
There's a, on one of the pages, there's a sign in the background that's like a dinosaur in a construction hat. And in the background, there's like the oil well. And it says, "We are natural gas." And you can't, like, how do you explain that joke to a 3-year-old?
Yeah, you can't.
You just can't.
You can't.
But it's so funny. And
that's awesome.
I read it to the kids and like they didn't think it was nearly as funny as I did. So
so maybe it didn't hit all the buttons you want a children's book to hit, but it hit yours.
They still liked it. It was still like a cute book and the kids, because you know most kids know the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears,
right.
And then she's like, "Wait a minute, these are dinosaurs. That's not the right story." And so just all that over.
I like those children's books that have a little bit of a few things thrown in. It's, you can tell it's for the adults and the kids will never get
it.
Right.
Like my friend Chaz Kelly. I don't know if you know Chaz. He's a fellow author here in Indianapolis. He's been on the podcast, but he's got a children's book. And I think the title of it is something like My Ship Won't Sink.
Oh, I already know where this is going.
That's as far as I'm going with it.
And I will say, when I looked up Nikki Ray, the other Nikki Ray had a children's book about dust bunnies.
Oh, I hadn't seen that one.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
So, Nikki?
Yes?
What about your creative indulgence? No, Crystal, are you done?
I did read 7 books this week. So, if you want to know more about those. But that's the only book that I'm currently reading because I just finished my audiobook. But
we're going to talk about audiobooks in a little bit. I think that might be a fun little conversation. See if I can get in trouble. Nikki.
Yes. So I am a romance author. I have not published a book since 2023. And this is actually the first time I've said this out loud, but I have started writing a new book.
Oh, yay.
So I guess texting me about it doesn't count as saying it out loud.
I did. That's correct. I did not say it out loud. So I'm a little nervous because it's been a while since I've written anything.
Sure.
But writing has always been an outlet for me. So beginning to write a new book is kind of scary, but also a little bit cathartic for me. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome.
I actually already have the cover for it, which is kind of strange. It's, you know, you write the story, then you have the cover.
Do you do the cover or do you leverage someone else or a service or?
Yeah. So I do not do the cover. I know what I want on the cover. And then, so I have someone create that for me.
Okay.
This one actually was a pre-made cover. And so it was already put together, you know, the creator just, you know, adds the words, the blurb, the, you know, all of the things on the cover. I just saw it and this was like the story that I'm writing now. It was kind of itching my brain a little bit. And so, but I hadn't really done anything with it yet. Mm-hmm. And then, so I saw the cover and I was like, yes. So for me, when I describe finding the right cover, it's like finding the right wedding dress.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
when say you yes know. To the cover.
That's right. You know, when you know. So I saw it and I was like, yes, I don't know exactly what my story's going to be, but it's going to be this, whatever this cover is. And so I know that's kind of backwards. You don't really match your story to the cover. It's kind of the other way around, but that's going to have to work for me because I absolutely,
this one
spoke to me.
But,
and so it's kind of ignited a fire a little bit. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that this goes well.
I mean, we've talked a lot about how we will pick up a book off of a shelf or off of a list on Amazon or Goodreads because of the cover.
Covers make a difference.
Yeah. So, because I don't know about you guys, but Nikki and I both, we tend to pick up a book and go in blind. Like, yes. If I like the cover or if I know I like the author or if Nikki says, "Hey, read this book, it's really good," I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to know anything about it other than, you know, I like the author, I like the cover, or Nikki liked the book.
Yeah.
And so I think that having a really good cover is really important for, you know, those of us that judge a book by its cover, even though you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of anybody writing a book on, like, based on the cover. I mean, I guess it's not based on the cover, but.
Yeah. So that's going to happen this time. So we'll see how it goes.
You know, it's funny. I was in Monday, my younger daughter and I, we happened to be in Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. You know, love to just peruse through, right? Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've noticed, especially on the romance novels, as we were walking through there, the genre of the covers has changed. It is more, and it's not like a cartoon, but it's more comic book more
yes.
art and less people-y
yes.
than what they used to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, boy, this has been a shift.
No, no more Fabio on the cover.
Right, right.
Remember my mom, growing up, my mom had a whole shelf of books with Fabio on the cover.
I wonder how many actual book covers he's been on.
I'm sure it's
A template of him of some kind, or whatever. Sure.
Probably really old and bald now.
I have no idea. I just know
it would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
My mom had to
look that up.
She had a whole bunch of Stephen King books and Dean Koontz books, and then she had Fabio books, and I was like, what is this? And even now, like, I don't like books covers that have real people like books covers.
Well, that'd be interesting really? If Dean yeah. Koontz and Stephen King could get together and write a romance novel.
Oh my gosh. It'd definitely be a dark romance.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. He's 66 years old, in case anybody wants to know. And he still has long hair.
Oh.
According to the pictures. But those look like old pictures.
Does he have all of his long hair? Or is he, no?
Well, it could be have transplants or whatever.
That's true.
But maybe. He's got, see? And you can tell, I mean, his face is older there. So it's not like.
Show it to the audience.
See, everybody? Go Google it.
You know? I don't think he looks 66, even in that first picture, mm-hmm. though. So who knows how old the picture is.
All right. So we've done.
He doesn't want to talk about Fabio anymore.
Yeah, I've had all the Fabio I care to hear about.
Yes. So,
It's time for us to keep moving forward. And so what I'm going to do is I drove across country with my brother once, and he drove this van. I was like 20. He was like 40. So he was in his mid 30s probably at the time. He always seemed like he was a lot older. He was 16 years older than me. So I drove to California with him, and when he would get tired of driving, he would lean forward and kind of stand up beside and have me slide into the seat and take over the steering wheel without stopping the van.
Oh my.
On the interstate.
This is why women live longer. I would never do that.
Well, I like felt really like, are you sure? You know, should we be doing this? And he's like, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Of course, the language that came out of his mouth was a little bit more coarse than that. But yes, we did it. But this is me leaning forward and letting Nikki and Crystal slide into the driver's seat. So why don't you take over for a few minutes and you do some of the next part of the interview.
Sure. So first, I want to thank you for having us on your podcast and allowing us to be part of it and you be part of our podcast.
Yeah, thank you for letting me to do that as well.
Collaboration.
Yeah, it's not something that we have ever done, and it's very interesting. And so Mike, I guess I would ask you, What inspired you to become an author?
Oh, I think it was just all of the reading that I was doing. So, you know, as a young person in school, I can go back and look at interactions with teachers and things that I did in school, and I can kind of see the inkling of it, you know, the first little seeds of it.
Yeah.
But it was all the reading I did in the 90s.
Yeah.
So in the late 80s, early 90s, I picked up a Dean Koontz book called Twilight Eyes.
Yes.
And I started reading that and was totally sucked in. And I hadn't really read a book of any substance in years before that. But after I got sucked into that book, I started reading all the time. I always had a book going. And I don't know how many I would read a year, but I was reading and reading and reading. And Nancy was the same way. She got into reading at the same time. We really got into it heavily. But I was intrigued with the idea of becoming an author.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the Bag of Bones by Stephen King, where it's about an author.
That's a good one. That's one of my favorites.
It's a good story. But I'm contemplating what this guy's lifestyle was like. And I'm thinking, oh, this is that'd be kind of interesting without the scary stuff.
Right.
And maybe
no murder.
Yeah. Maybe no bags of bones. But it was, I kind of had the thought, you know, maybe I could try it. And so I started fiddling around with some
short stories first. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Poetry. Yeah. He's done poetry.
Oh my gosh. Awesome.
I suck at poetry.
Oh yeah.
No, he does not. He writes nice poetry.
I'm glad you think so.
He's written some poems for me. And they're nice.
Well, one of my most recent poems is on my blog. Campers Thoughts, CAAMPERS Thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's called The Tender Kiss of Hope.
Aww.
That was my most recent poem.
Okay. But
at any rate, I started tooling around with short stories. I tried to write a longer, my very first novel It's actually in this room somewhere. It's about 2 inches thick of paper, and I will never finish it.
Oh.
But it's my great unfinished novel. And a few years later, I started Abandoned Hope.
Yeah.
And it took me over four years to finish that story. But finally, I had a friend that says, won't you finish that thing? And so I did. And then I'm off to the races now.
So you're talking about Abandoned Hope, and that is the first book in your series, correct?
In my Cutter's Notch series, yes.
Okay. And where did that idea come from?
It came from her retainer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a retainer, and I've discovered over the years, I tend to grind my teeth in my sleep. I don't know why. I'm just thinking solving the world's problems in my sleep, maybe.
Yeah.
So even though I had that retainer left from when I had braces as a young teen, I would still wear it maybe at that point in time, maybe like once a week when I went to bed at night, just to kind of keep the teeth in line. And it went missing one day. It was in a little like puck case, as retainers used to, I don't know if they still do, used to come in, and it went missing.
It was gone for maybe months. It was gone a long time. We searched everywhere. Our house, every conceivable place.
And we have a rule. If one of us loses something, the other one looks, because you never find your own stuff usually that you lose.
Usually we find each other's stuff.
We didn't. And then one day.
Hang on. Yeah. I looked, behind the toilet, in the cabinets, in the freezer, anywhere, impossible places.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And one evening I walk into our bedroom, and on the corner of our dresser is that little blue hockey puck container of the retainer, right on the corner of the dresser, right in plain view. And I said, Nancy, you found your retainer.
And I was like, no, I didn't. What do you mean? I
walk in, it was right there. And we were both like, we were flabbergasted.
Your house ghost borrowed.
Well, we have a hypothesis.
Okay.
At the time, we had a small group that met at our house, and one of the couples had a couple of twin boys that were quite rambunctious. Our hypothesis is that they were at the house one time and probably picked it up, not knowing what it was, take it home, and that the parents realized what it was and were embarrassed. And so at some point in time, they slid it back into.
But how it got to be the beginning of the story was, I looked at it and I looked at Nancy and I said, well, I guess the dimensional bandits were done with it.
As if it had been an ulterior.
And that was around 1989.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is an interesting story, and I'm not sure how this is going to tie into your story, but I see now.
I don't know where the dimensional bandits came from in my brain at the time, but they popped in there, and then I played with it for about 20 years until it turned into a story.
Well, that's a very interesting story. I don't know what I thought you were going to answer that question with, but it was not that.
It was a retainer. It
certainly wasn't that.
No.
Yeah.
You just never know where a story comes from.
Yeah.
You were talking about that earlier about where your inspiration for your next book came from, your book cover before you even started.
Yeah.
It's like, you never know where they're going to come from.
Nope.
Like my second book in my trilogy is Nozomi's Battle. And the concept from it came from a dilapidated corn silo that I passed every day going to my house. And I just thinking about what could happen. And I turned it into book two in my Cutter's Notch trilogy.
Yeah, that's so interesting. My first novel, the idea came from a tire commercial. There was a song.
A tire commercial?
Yes. There was a song that was playing in the background.
Was Fabio in the
commercial?
Fabio
was not in the commercial.
Okay.
It was a young girl who had clearly had just gotten her license, and she was stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire, and she had to call her father to come and help her with the tire. And there was a song playing in the background that I liked. I liked the song. And as I'm listening to this song, and, I was already playing with the idea of, writing a story. I just hadn't put anything on paper yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm listening to this story or listening to this song, I was like, okay, I got it. This is it. It's just so random. Middle of the night while you're in the shower, when you're driving down the road or watching TV, the inspiration just hits you.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to put a story to this. This is how this is going to go. Crystal, we've talked about this a lot on our podcast. She reads so much, but she can't picture it in her mind. I can picture it in my mind.
You're a total consumer.
Well, because they talk about like your ability to visualize, and I've seen the picture where it's like if you see absolutely nothing, it's like aphantasia.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Like, because you know, it's like close your eyes and picture your happy place, and I close my eyes and it's nothing. It does not matter. I can't close my eyes and see my dog, and I love him more than anything.
Right.
You know, I can't close my eyes and see my boyfriend, and I guess he's okay too. No, I don't see anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
So I always thought people were making it up when they're like, I close my eyes and I see this. And I'm like, you're a dirty liar.
When you read a book, you don't see the images in your mind.
No, nope, I don't see nothing.
Isn't that wild? Like, how do you even, because when I read, like the picture is like a movie in my head. And that's what happens when a story idea hits me, I'm like, I'm seeing the reel go in my head. And so I'm either, you know, seeing the story that I'm reading or seeing the story that I'm trying to write. And if I didn't have that in there,
I say that all the time. It's like, you know, I see this story unfold in my mind. It's like watching a movie, maybe in slow motion. And if I don't like the ending, I can change it. And
exactly.
And I think if I can write this well enough, then somebody else can see the story too, unless it's Crystal.
Right.
I think y'all are a bunch of liars. Yeah.
But I will say though, that's why a lot of times I think that movies or shows don't match up to the book.
Yes.
Because everybody has, well, not everybody, sorry, Crystal.
Everybody but Crystal.
But most people have in their mind when they're reading a book, well, what does Fabio look like in this book? Or what does the killer look like? Or the scene, the old dilapidated house, whatever it might be, that they come up in their mind what the scenario is. And so.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that, because we actually just went and watched Karen Slaughter talk last week in Carmel.
Yeah.
And she was kind of talking about that. She has her Will Trent series. I don't know if either of you have read Karen Slaughter.
No, I know of her, but I've not read.
Very good stories, very sensitive topic. So if
which
that's
is
not
why
your,
I haven't read it.
Say, so if that's not your thing, don't read it. But she has her Will Trent series out, but she also has a series, and I can't remember if it's on Prime or Netflix, but it's called Pieces of Her.
And isn't that on Paramount Plus, I thought?
I don't know. I don't know that that's one super of the streaming, important. Right. It's on one of them. Yeah. Yes. But Toni Collette played the main character. Mm-hmm. And she said that Toni Collette played the character so well that Karen can't even write her anymore, because seeing the character that played rather than the character that she created herself.
Wow. That's interesting.
So that is interesting. And I never thought about that, but I can see how that would be difficult.
Yeah. That would be kind of disturbing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you, as an author, and Mike, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you know, you want to see, it would be very cool to see your characters on TV.
No, I never even thought about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. But then, you know, when Karen said that, I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about that, because, you know, she said, I can't write this character ever again because all I see in my head is Toni Collette. And so I think that it would be okay to maybe have it a little bit different. And that's what she has said about her Will Trent series.
Maybe that's why George R. R. Martin can't finish the Song of Ice and Fire, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't like the ending that HBO did for his books.
Well, he can join the club.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you've listened to any of my rants on our podcast, but I've ranted more than once about the unfinished series for was it Song of Ice and Fire or Fire and Ice? I can't remember.
Yeah, well, you know, one or the other. Yeah.
Right. The Game of Thrones series, because I read those years and years before HBO picked it up as a series and was anxiously awaiting the next book for a long time. And then HBO picked it up and I was like, oh, well, this is cool. So maybe he'll put out the other book so that they can finish the show. And then, well, you know what happened. And those of you that know have heard me rant about it enough. And it's a big reason why I will no longer read unfinished fantasy series.
Yeah.
Well, you can read my Cutter's Notch series. It's finished.
Okay.
And that's, and
HBO's not going to pick it up and ruin it.
I wish they would. HBO, please.
I love landing on those series, finding out about them after they've been done.
Yes.
And then just going straight through them. And because for that very reason.
Yes.
I had recently picked up Rebecca Yarros.
Yes.
Her most recent book. I thought, well, I'm going to go back, because the way she wrote the first two books was...
You're talking about the Empyrean series.
Yes.
On it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I picked up, I thought, well, each chapter she had just like a little one sentence from a different character's diary or whatever. And I thought, okay, as I get ready for this next book, I'm going to just do that. And I ended up getting sucked in and rereading the whole series, which was very helpful when I got to the final book, because there's another saga that's out there that I read the first three books and I'm like, yes. And the next book was going to come out a month later and they changed publishers. And for whatever reason, it has now been, 9 months and I don't know when that book's going to come out.
Yes, my husband is actually listening to that series right now. He's on the second part of the graphic audio of Onyx Storm.
Yeah.
And he, it's so funny, I was just telling the story earlier. We both work together in the same office and we both have our headphones on, both listening to different books. And he takes his headphones off and stares at me and I realize he's staring at me. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I need to take my headphones off because he has to tell me something. So I take my headphones off and I look at him and he says, this book, he said, and it ends in a cliffhanger, doesn't it? And I said, yeah.
They kind of, yeah.
So I had to talk him through it a little bit. He hasn't finished it yet.
Yeah.
But he did come to one of the major plot points and he just was so distraught. Yeah. I'm like, well, you haven't even finished the book yet.
Right.
So
just wait. There's just, more distraughtness to come.
Just wait. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you tend to, I know you say you write romance.
I do write mostly. Mostly I do. I do have a thriller and she's an assassin and I love her. But primarily I write romance.
And do you write that because that's what you enjoy reading or do you enjoy reading a lot of different genres?
No, I actually love thrillers and psychological thrillers. That's actually what I'm reading right now. I'm in the middle of a series, Brianna Lubescus. I think it's Lubescus. She has what I'm reading right now. She has a Dr. Gretchen White series. She's a psychologist, but she's also a sociopath. And so it is a very interesting dynamic, but I also love, crime thrillers, police procedurals, Criminal Minds type stuff.
Sure.
So I have not written that kind of book because I don't think I could do it justice. Not that I feel like maybe I write super great romance books, but I do love romance. It is my favorite. It's my favorite.
Your favorite. Yeah. Crystal, what about you? Do you have a favorite? Since you read a lot, how many books a week you typically read?
It depends on how busy I am, obviously. And with my new job, I've had a little bit less time to read here recently, but I usually read between 4 and 7 books a week.
Yeah.
And a combination of audio, physical, and Kindle books.
And that's a question out there, right? Or a big debate out there. Is listening to an audiobook counted as reading?
I'm glad you asked that question instead of me.
We've actually had this same conversation on our own podcast, and Crystal and I both are in agreement that it is the same.
Yes.
And why? What's your reasoning for that?
Because you take the media in, regardless of whether you're listening to it or physically, or reading it on the page.
What if you were visually impaired? Right?
Yes,
right.
Exactly. You still are taking in the media. And that is one of the reasons that we said, mm-hmm. If you're visually impaired, you have no other choice.
Right.
And you're still getting the story.
You're not going to tell a blind person, oh, you didn't read that book.
Exactly.
It's not very nice.
Right.
And there's actually been research done where they, they did like little electrode things on the head I don't know. I'm not a neurosurgeon. I'm not a brain scientist.
You play one on TV?
Wish I did. But they actually did research on the areas of the brain that are activated when you physically read a book with your eyes versus when you listen to an audiobook. And the same areas of your brain are activated regardless of if it's an audiobook or you're reading with your eyes.
That's you see, now my only issue with that, and I'm gonna be on the other end of the spectrum a little bit. Like I'm not gonna discount listening to the audiobooks. I actually have an audiobook that I'd love people to listen to. But I think there can be a tendency for some people to drift off, that let their mind wander, and then, lots of time's gone by. The sound has been playing, but you haven't been really taking it in.
Okay. But
like I do that in my car. If I listen to an audiobook in my car and I'm driving down the road, it can be chattering away. And the next thing you know, I'm thinking about something else and I have to backtrack my book. Okay,
but to be fair, I have also done that while reading physical books, words on pages. I'll read an entire page and then I don't know how I do it. Maybe it's the ADHD wires that are crossed in my brain, but I will read an entire page of a physical book while thinking about something else and then have no idea what I read. So to be fair, it does also happen when you read with your eyes.
Touché.
And I think some people are what, more audio have a, some people are more visually.
You know, they're visual learners,
auditory, you know, all of the and tactical.
I know someone who, because he has a learning disability because of something that happened to him as an infant. Like he lost oxygen to his brain when he was being born. So it's more difficult for him to physically read a book, but it's also more difficult for him to follow along with an audio book. So he does immersive reading. The best way for him to read a book is for him to read it. Usually he reads e-books. So it'll be on his Kobo or his Kindle. He has both. And then also to listen along with the audiobook. And that's really the only way for him to fully.
Does he ever read it out loud and get the same impact, or does he?
You know, I've never actually asked him.
Because I know Mike does that some. He reads a book and he'll read it out loud.
Started doing that probably
like intentionally because I do that not realizing. Yeah.
But one of our daughters does that. One of our daughters does that as well. She likes to read it out loud.
Now I'll have to ask him about that because I've never even thought to ask him. But
it comes off very differently in my mind reading it out loud than if I just sit there and read it.
Yeah.
So, well, let's go back to Nikki driving the boat here. So I think you started to ask a question.
I want to say one more thing about audio, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I am 100% audiobook listener. I do not read ebooks. I don't read physical books.
None. Why is that?
Because I can't sit down and focus on it. When I am listening to an audiobook, I'm doing other things, so my mind doesn't wander. I am cleaning my house. I listen while I'm working. You know, even if I'm not doing something and I'm just listening, maybe sitting on the couch or something, I'll be playing a game as well. So I have to be doing two things at one time. So my mind doesn't wander, but I do not read. I don't.
Interesting.
Yeah. I should teach you how to knit so you can knit. And
there you go. You'll be really productive. Really, really productive.
I do that because I might not look it, but I'm secretly 85 years old. It's time for my afternoon nap.
Yeah.
There's a story
I just have old lady hobbies. It's fine.
For me, going on vacation is reading a book or whatever, but I tend to read every night. But I don't tend to watch the TV or movies with Mike as much, because by the end of the day, when I have been on Zoom and Teams calls literally all day long, it's like it's too much stimulus to have the visual and the auditory. So going into our room and reading a book is then my mind just starts relaxing and I can get into it. But the other pieces they become overwhelming by the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I like reading the book. Auditory would not help me at that point.
Yeah. You can't read a book while like in the same room as him watching the movie. Is it too distracting?
I can, but it's a thing that by the end of the day, when I have been speaking and listening to people all day long, my job is very people oriented. It's like, I just need some quiet. I just need quiet.
I have this amazing ability to completely tune out everything that is happening around me. I can read a book and focus solely on the book in a room full of screaming children.
Well, and I will say the other piece is sometimes I will do that because I'm thinking I want to spend a little bit of time with my husband, but I'll be reading, then he'll talk to me or ask questions, and then I get mad and I'm like,
I don't want to be mad. My boyfriend does that to me. Like I'll be reading a book and he'll like show me, like he'll try to stick his phone in my face.
Hey, look at this.
Show me like some stupid video on Facebook or something. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I want to show you this. And I was like, okay, but I'm reading. And he's like, well, you're not busy. And I'm like,
you're always reading.
Right.
And he's like, well, you're not busy. And I was like, what part of this book in my hand tells you I'm not busy?
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone. That'd be like me like standing in front of the TV while you're trying to watch football and be like, hey, let me tell you about this book I'm reading. And he just,
he doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't get it. Doesn't read at all.
You do, you know, listening.
Yep.
But Crystal, you actually read books. Now, do you prefer hard copy or paper books or an e-reader?
I prefer paper books. Just, I like the way they feel.
Yeah.
But I also like my Kindle for the convenience. And I switch back and forth so frequently. But if I do a lot on one or the other, I forget which media I'm reading. Like, I've tried to tap the pages of my paperback to turn the pages, but then I'll read a paperback or two, and then I'll go back to my Kindle, and then I'll like try to like flip the pages, and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I don't. But because people are like, what kind of books do you like, how do you read your books? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, well, do you like audiobooks or paperback books or Kindle books? And I'm like, yes. Like, I just like, if
you
I
just
knew,
like books,
if I could read Braille, I would read Braille books too.
Well, like, just, you can learn and do it. I believe in you.
just give me a, I mean, just give me a book and I'll read it. I don't care what format it's in.
There you go.
I was just going to ask you, Nancy, do you write at all? I know you said that you read, but have you ever tried to write?
I have a published poem.
Oh, you do?
Mike found this out on a podcast one time. When I was in high school, in Spanish class, actually, we submitted poems, and the University of Indiana, Indiana University, had submissions, and one of my poems got submitted and got published in a IU publication. But other than that, no.
And it's in Spanish?
Yes.
Very awesome.
And it's all about Christmas.
Do you remember it?
Not off the top of my head.
Dang. I was hoping we could continue.
Do you have it somewhere?
Yeah, I do have it.
You'll have to pull it out for a future podcast.
I've pulled it out for you, and we've read it on a podcast before.
Oh, did you? Well, how long ago was that?
It's been a while, to be fair. It's been a while.
In all fairness. Okay.
And it's a really short poem. How in the world? I think the simplicity of it is what made them select it, because it was nothing exceptional.
Actually, you know, I say that I suck at poetry, but I actually had a poem that was published online by the Indiana Humanities this year.
Oh, it was
like
awesome.
Springtime in Indiana. Okay. It was like they had people submit poems about springtime in Indiana. And I submitted one, and they actually put it in the collection. That was kind of cool.
That's very cool.
So, no, writing is not something that I have done. Not to say that I wouldn't pursue it at some time, but life is quite full with other priorities.
Yeah. It is hard to do when you're working. And have lots of things going on. I feel like that's the reason why I haven't written, you know, in the last however long it's been. My son graduated high school, and then he moved out, and then we moved to a different house. And so it's just been kind of chaos in our life.
That will hinder you.
And so we're kind of finally, everything is getting settled a little bit. My son did just get engaged last Christmas or around Christmas time.
So now more is going to be going on.
They haven't set a date yet. So, I mean, we're kind of just in the beginning stages. But anyways, other than that, you know, life has kind of settled down a little bit. And so my mind has been kind of going, you know, about what could be in the next story.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the nature of my job is, aside from being on the computer and with people all day long, it is sitting at a computer. So the last thing I want to do for fun is to sit at a computer or to be writing out. You know, I want outside of work, I like more physical types of things to do.
Yeah. I also sit at a computer, so I totally get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Mike, I know that your books are for middle-aged teenagers? Well, I meant to say middle-aged kids and then teenagers at the same time.
You mean mid-grade? Is that what you
mean?
That is what I was going for.
And of course, I have to jump on it and be a jerk.
Yeah. But you earned your keep, Crystal. You've earned your keep.
Yes.
If I know anything, it's kids' books.
Yeah. Actually, the Cutter's Notch series, I didn't write it for middle grade.
Okay.
And I didn't write it for young adult. I wrote it because it was a story in my head and it had to come out.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to write a really fun, when I say fun, if you really like dark thriller kind of fantasy, you know, I wanted to write something like that, but one that wasn't loaded with all the obscenity and profanity that's out there. I wanted to write a story that would be safe for people to read who like that kind of book, but didn't really want to see all the F-bombs and all the other stuff. Not going to judge anybody who writes with those. I just didn't want to. I wanted to present
your story
a different.
Sure.
And it was a story that had to come out. And so after I wrote Abandoned Hope and I started trying to market it, then I ended up with an agent. And my agent says, well, you know, this book kind of falls in between. It's more middle grade with the age group of the characters, but it's a little darker, so it's really a young adult. You know,
it wasn't a clean.
Yeah, it was. Cut. I smudged the lines up, But it, so it wasn't really written for middle grade, but it's safe for, I would say it's a safe storyline for anybody, a mature 10, 11 year old or someone who's 12 and older.
Yeah.
But I've had people that were, you know, 65 years old who really liked the stories. So it wasn't really written for that, but that's how it's been categorized.
So you didn't write the story targeted at anyone. It just, you wrote the story because.
Especially Abandoned. You know, when I started Abandoned Hope, that's the case. By the time I got to Nozomi's Battle, the second book, I kind of understood what I had done to myself as far as marketability, but I had to finish the story. So that ended up with book two, and then book three is Reckless Abandon. So I had to finish that. I had to finish that out before I could go on. My new book, The Purveyor of Death, is really a true young adult story. It's written about somebody who's about 20 years old. It's got a little bit more grown up language, still no F bombs, but it's a little bit more grown up language, a little bit more grown up subject matter.
Right.
So I kind of target it more toward a true young adult.
Okay. Kind
of
thing.
The cover of that one makes it look a little scary.
Well, that's good.
Dragon on it.
It's good.
It's not really a dragon though. That's the interesting thing. It has a little dragonish look. It's not clearly a dragon.
Have you heard that before? It looks like a dragon.
Somebody said it looked like a reptile or something. I was like, well, you know, it's if you read the story, that's not what it is, but it'll make sense after you read the story.
Yeah.
I told my publisher, who also does my covers.
Yeah.
I said, look, you know, the key things that keep coming up are sharp teeth, yellow eyes. And she created that. And I'm like, okay. It's kind of coming out of the mist. So you can't really see the features clearly. So it's a classic monster story.
Okay. Classic monster story. That sounds like a
good old fashioned creature feature.
Yes. That's what he was going for. And I think he captured it well. And we've said on this podcast several times that I think Mike writes well. I don't care for the Abandoned Hope series stories, but The Purveyor of Death, I love. And if you grew up Central Indiana, the old like Sammy Terry, scary, you know, creature features kind of stuff. You will get a kick out of it.
Okay.
You guys are killing me over here. I already added that entire, the Daylight, the book that you were talking about.
You've added it to
I added that entire series. Like, that's what I was doing on my phone. Like, I got on Goodreads and I added the entire series to my TBR. And now I'm going to have to read the Not Dragon Dragon book. My TBR
that one,
is
that
like,
one you can read really quick. It's like, not, it's not as big as this one.
She read it in about 2 days.
Yeah. Okay. My TBR is like 700 books. You are
and I
killing
just,
me.
I will
put mine at the top.
Well, if it's most recently added, it will be at the top.
So I will say I added this morning Fire Within Beyond the Stage book by Nikki Ray.
Yes. And, thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm already like in chapter 6.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, I'm enjoying it. Good. I'm enjoying it.
I wrote that because I am a huge lover of concerts. And when I started that, it was in 2020, you know, during time when we couldn't
no concerts.
Leave our house.
Yeah, unless so it's online. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote concerts into my books so I could go. And I love it. That is one series that I want to get back to. I have a story planned for each of the bandmates. I just haven't put it down on paper yet. You know?
Well, I don't feel bad, though, that there's a series and I'm going to read three of them and then have to wait for years. This will just be a good teaser, I think, for me.
Yes. And I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you that. But yes, I'm glad you're enjoying it. That makes you feel good.
Yeah. So basically what she's saying is you make sure you finish that series because if you don't, she knows where to find you.
Yes. That's right. Okay. That's right.
I am going to finish.
I will talk about you on this podcast.
So did you
I've been waiting 5 years.
Did you say earlier that you had a thriller?
I do have a thriller. It's called Angel Face. She is an assassin. And
is there a time period? Current day?
It is current day.
Okay.
And she is the best assassin in the world, of course. And so her services are often sought out, but she's had a major event in her life that's pulling her in a different direction. And so she is actually working on her own time now to find this killer. And so it kind of goes from there. She enlists.
Is there a personal connection to the killer?
There is not a personal connection to the killer. However, I will say this. My grandmother was my reading buddy, and she passed away in 2016. And this is the first book that she didn't get to read. Wow. And so it was very difficult for me to finish the overarching story of it is kind of a metaphor for me not being able to save her.
Gotcha.
So there will be more books in that series. Yeah. It is a little difficult for me to write. I have started it. I probably, I don't know, have 5 or 6 chapters going of it so far.
Because when you said assassin, immediately I thought of Throne of Glass.
I have not read Throne of Glass.
Okay, because there's a female assassin in that series.
Yes, I have not read Throne of Glass. Uh-huh. And I don't know about you, Mike, but when I'm writing, I try to stay away from the type of story that I'm writing just because I don't want to get convoluted in my brain. So if I were to, when I continue that story, I will not be reading anything that has any other assassins. But anyway, she enlists the help of one of her fellow assassins, who's kind of like a freelance mercenary.
That sounds, you know, sounds kind of funny. Oh, one of my fellow assassin colleagues.
Merry band of assassins here. But yeah, so the thing about me is I do love romance, but I do not like whiny female main characters.
Thank you.
So Angel Face is not a whiny main character. It is very, very difficult to not write a whiny character. As much as I do not like to read them, I have tried my best to write them that way as well, but mm-hmm. It is so difficult. And I don't know if it's because...
I was going to be like, why is that?
I don't know why that is, to be quite honest with you. I don't know if it's just because of the genre that I'm writing in mm-hmm. and the type of stories that I'm writing, but it is kind of difficult. So she has my heart because she's very strong and she doesn't take anyone's stuff. And I love her so much. I mean, I can't really say that, you know, it's my favorite because I've, you know, all of my books have a piece of my heart.
It's like a child. You love them all.
Exactly. But yeah, she has my heart.
What's the assassin's name?
Her name is Angel Face.
Oh, that is her
She's
name.
She's the assassin.
Okay.
Well, her assassin name is Angel Face.
Gotcha.
Her real name is Jade.
That's almost as good as Angel Face.
Yeah.
So, but you write a lot of romance.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's different kinds of romance. So there's cozy romance.
Yeah.
There's erotic romance.
Yeah.
There's historical.
There's historical romance.
There's Regency. There's...
What end of the romance scale are you on?
It is contemporary. There is some spice to it. I will say that. Not a lot though. I'm not huge into. I do read it, but I'm not huge into it. I need a story to go with it.
There is a difference between, and Mike and I have had this conversation before, whether it's romance or murder. There's a difference between describing every single lick, touch, whatever.
Yes.
And leading somebody to a place where they can just. Imagine. And same thing with murder, you know, every stab and whatever. It's like,
right.
I don't need it all drawn out for me if I'm a reader.
Right. I can make that conclusion on my own. Yeah. I'm not going to say that there's not some of that in some of my books because there is. It's just not as pronounced as a lot of other books.
Yeah.
It's not like 7 pages straight of
everything from one event. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Flip. Yeah. Don't need to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever met Lizzie Lee. She's another local author. That's not her real name. It's a pen name as well. But I had her on the podcast. She was like my first interview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. I knew that she was a romance author. I didn't know what end of the spectrum she was on until she agreed to come on the podcast and I had committed. And I went to her website to look it up and it was clearly erotic romance.
It's a big seller.
This is going to be an interesting conversation.
You know, I wonder how much the market, I know that there's numbers out there as far as the market on there, but it's a big market.
It's a $1 billion industry.
Well, she told me that one of her readers was her grandmother and that she took her book and she took a...
Redacted.
She redacted it. She marked it out. And then when she put her second one out, her grandmother ordered it before she got a chance to do that.
I could not imagine. Letting my grandmother read, even if it wasn't something that I wrote, like knowing, like if my grandma was reading the same book that I'd read, I'd be like, no, grandma, I've never heard of that book. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go read my Bible. Leave me alone.
Well, my grandmother was my reading partner. We read every, all she's kinds. What got me into Eve Duncan. She's what got me into Karen Slaughter. So, I mean, there wasn't nothing at the time that I was reading that she wasn't. And so the thing about it though, is we didn't really I mean, we talked about it, but we didn't go into great detail. Well,
so, you know, we talked, we always liked Saturday Night Live, and there's a lot of things on Saturday Night Live that's funny, but wrong.
Yes.
And, but there was a period of time, like where the girls were, our girls are grown now,
yeah.
but they were growing up and they hit kind of teenage college years, and they'd be up and we'd sit down and we would end up watching the show together, and it would be like as quiet as a pin because nobody wanted to,
yeah.
parents and kids did not want to laugh at the same crude
yes.
thing.
Yes.
And so we was like, for a period of time, we was like, we just don't need to watch this show together because
yeah.
it's awkward.
All right. Now we've been gone for an hour.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not. I mean,
it doesn't seem like it
when we're having fun, time yeah. flies. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask one more question and then we'll go, or whether you or Crystal, and then we're going to go to the random question box.
Okay. So Mike, when you write, are you able to, do you write in linear form? Can you skip around when you write, or do you have to go in order of events?
I write as it unfolds in my imagination.
Okay.
So typically I'll have an idea of where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Where I want it to end up. And that might be fairly vague. But so I'm kind of watching how my character gets there. And as my character gets there, I write the story. Now I tend to be a pantser. I'm not yeah. someone who lays it all out, right? I write by the seat of my pants.
Right.
And I write the story as it unfolds. So far, you know, knock on That's wooden desk, case. I haven't had an issue with writing myself into a corner, but that may happen at some point in time. But it's fun because in essence, I'm watching this movie unfold.
Yeah.
And I'm just describing what happened.
He Somebody told says, me one time, he was like, I don't know what's going to happen to this character. And I'm like, how do you know? How does the character tell yep. you? You know,
yeah, yeah.
You're shaking your head. I presume you do the
that
same
is exactly
way.
That's how
why
it goes.
We're not writers.
Thank you. Right?
I have.
We
no
would
idea.
Have it all planned out.
Well, there are some writers who
do
you
that.
Know, completely
yeah.
outline chapter by chapter. I just, you know, what if something changes?
Yeah, you change your mind about a character. Yeah. You know, it's like I have had when I wrote Abandoned Hope, I got three quarters of the way through the story. And one of the characters did something and I'm like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's 100% how it happened.
Write it.
Yeah.
Then I had to go back at the beginning and kind of tweak some things to make it, you know, clarify it. And, and it's like, wow, this is, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was as much of a shock to me as it would be to my readers, you know, when they read it. And that's kind of fun.
It is fun. I know there was one point where, so I generally, not that anybody asked, but I'll tell you anyways. I generally also am a linear writer. However, there was one, and I believe it was my assassin because she does what she wants, where I was writing the story and then I'm like, oh, wait, this is going to happen here, but I'm here. So I'm going to go ahead and write this and you can't see me, but I'm moving my hands for whatever reason. And so this is going to happen. I have already written this and now I need to fill in the middle. And that was the most difficult thing that I have ever done.
Yeah.
It worked. It worked. I filled it in and it, you know, it matched up great, but could I do that again? Probably not. I haven't done it again since. And so I have no idea how that happened, but you know, it, you know, as the pieces of the story come into your mind, if you, especially when you're not like maybe in writing mode, if you don't write it down, you're not going to remember
it.
It's not going to be exactly the way that it is in your head. And now since I'm starting this new story the other day, I don't even know what I was doing, but I was like, I have to stop. I have to write this down because if I don't, I'm not going to, my notes in my phone, I have so many notes in my phone, especially for this book. Like, you know, I just, little pieces are coming to me and I don't have time to sit down and write it right now. So I probably have a full book right now. It's just not on the paper yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah.
So as I would say, before we go to the final question, I have another question for the two of you.
Okay.
So we know, and we'll want to share at the end where all they can find your books.
Sure.
But you have this podcast.
Yeah.
How did that get started and how did the two of you decide to do it together?
So the interesting thing is Crystal and I actually just met for the first time last year during a book I created a book club for our town. Uh-huh. Well, one of many, but it was, and she came to our, one of our in-person meetings. We had never met each other before and we very much just hit it off immediately.
Right.
And come to find out, she actually worked with my sister a long time ago. But anyways, the book club did not really pan out. Like a lot of people didn't come to the in-person meeting and it was kind of just me and Crystal. But also I had had a podcast previously about books, but my previous podcast partner was not able to do the podcast any longer. And so I kind of had this need in me to still continue to do the podcast. And so Crystal and I just clicked so easily. You know, I think we say it every single week on our podcast that our favorite time of the week is just getting together and talking about books. And so we just, the idea was just born.
Is that more... Go ahead, Crystal. Sorry,
when she asked me if I wanted to come and do a podcast about books, I jumped on the chance because I don't really have anybody else to talk to about the books about that books. I read.
Similar books.
Right. Yeah. We read a lot of the same type of books and a lot of times we'll read the same books, sometimes on purpose and sometimes on accident.
Yeah.
But if I don't have somebody else to sit and talk to about these books, I'm going to try to tell my boyfriend and then he's going to be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because I don't think he's actually read a book since he graduated high school. I don't think he even read books in college. I don't think he's read a book since he was required a teacher.
For sure.
Yeah. Definitely not his thing, which is fine.
Yeah.
Not everyone's a reader.
Right.
So,
I wish that he was? Yes. Yes, I do. Very much so. Because then I'd have somebody else to talk to and then I wouldn't have to like bottle it all up and just wait until the weekend and then just pour it all out to Nikki in the podcast. And
well, that's fine. I do about the same.
Do you find that the podcast talking about books is more enjoyable than a book club where you read a book and then come and discuss it?
Or vice versa? I like both because like I like the idea of sharing thoughts all about the same book and like sharing ideas about something that you've all read in common, which Nikki and I do sometimes if we've read the same book.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we really, really like the same book or we really, really don't like the same book, we can, you know, have a good discussion about it. The thing about the podcast is that we try our absolute best not to give spoilers. So in an in-person book club, you know, if everybody's read the same book, then you can get into details about it. So I think that each one has its benefits and I'm not sure if I think that one is necessarily better than the other because I definitely enjoy both because I actually also have another book club that is more of just like a social book club. We do not assign a book. We do not all talk about the same books. We basically just get together at the library for like an hour and a half and talk about, you know, books in general, books that we've read.
See, I would like that. The ideal of, and I read a lot of books, so I can get through a book in a month, you know, if it's a once a month book club, but the pressure that I have to read this book and I have to finish it to go and talk about it at book club, I'm like, that doesn't interest me at all.
I think that's an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah. But if I got together with somebody and we just had a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, whatever, and we talked about this is what I've read or I've heard about this book coming out or whatever, giving ideas and sharing interests, I'm like, well, that's the kind of book club I could do.
And it's great too because you get a lot of new ideas.
Yes, yes.
Because there are some books that I have read based on talking to other people that have totally different experience, like different genres. Because I'm not a big historical fiction reader. I don't really do a lot of nonfiction. Basically, I'll need a book to have somebody that gets murdered or, you know, kidnapped or something for the most part. Because like when I read romance, it's dark romance. I read a lot of thrillers. I've read a decent amount of horror. And so we recently read The Women by Kristen Hannah, which is a historical fiction. Yep. And I absolutely love the book, even though I cried every single time I pick it up.
And I've not read that book yet because I don't want to cry. But she's a very good writer.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal book. Now, am I going to read her other stuff and maybe eventually, but
yeah,
you know, like it was a very emotional, very taxing book.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was nice to get a different perspective from that kind of book club versus where, okay, we're all going to read the same book.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay, guys, it's time. So what's going to happen
random
here is
question time. Well,
we're going to do this random question. And then when we're done with the random question, then we'll each share how we can find each other's books.
And
then we will each close out our podcast the way that we normally do.
Okay.
That sound good?
Sounds good.
All right.
I want to pick it.
You can pick it.
All right.
Pick question.
Pick a good one.
That means you have to answer it first.
You have to answer it first
and then great. Nikki.
Can you think of a time when you were really in the right place at the right time? This isn't even about books.
No.
Okay.
No.
I was expecting to be at least a little bit book related.
That's why it's a random question.
All right,
you're just so lucky we didn't ask about your complexion or something.
So. I have a great complexion.
Yes, you do.
Have you know?
Yes, you do.
So I would have to say that this probably is actually a fairly easy one for me to answer. So about 9 years ago, I was I was involved in a children's ministry with the church, and we were doing this activity where all the kids had decided that they wanted to cook a meal because we'd ask the kids in the, children's service, like, what are you really good at? And like a bunch of the kids are like, oh, I'm really good at cooking. So we did a thing where all the kids would come in the evening and we would cook, like a bunch of grilled cheese. We made spaghetti, kid friendly, kid easy for them to make. And then we invited all of the people from the church to come in, and basically we raised money for, these little pamphlets that's called, I think it's Samaritan's Purse, where they send out little pamphlets all over the world with translated into everybody's language. So all the kids were cooking and it was great. And I overheard the children's pastor of the church talking to her husband about how they had to let one of the teachers of the church or the preschool that was also out of the church. She had to fire one of the teachers. And at the time, I was a general manager for a restaurant, and I hated my job. I hated it so much. I was miserable. I found out that they'd hired somebody else to work under me, and they were paying him more than me. And I was just, like, frustrated at my wits' end, and I was like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I hated my job and everything. And I really wish that I could come and fill this need that you have because I hate my job. Like, I woke up in the morning sick. Like, I hated it so much. And she's like, you really should. And I just happened to be there, accidentally eavesdropping on the conversation that she was having. I mean, it wasn't eavesdropping. You were in earshot of it.
I was in the right place at the right time.
I overheard her. I think she was standing like 2 or 3 feet away from me talking to her husband. So we worked it out to where I ended up being able to quit my horrible, terrible, no good, very bad job that I did not want to work at anymore because I hated it. And I got to teach preschool and I did that for 9 years. So awesome. That was my right place at the right time.
Right time.
All right. Wow.
Nikki.
This one's a tough one. The only thing I can think of is I used to work in the banking field, and one of the places that I worked at required you to do, a certain amount of community service every month. That wasn't something that I was really accustomed to. So I didn't really know a lot about it. And one day I was taking my son to school when he was in elementary. And I happened to see a paper that was hanging up about what they call a read-up program. And so I don't know if you guys know this, but from second to third grade, I think they are required. Yeah, they have to take an iRead program. Well, some of the students, they, test before second grade or whatever the grade level is. I can't remember. And if they feel like they're falling behind, they're placed in what's called a read up program. Mm-hmm. And so
they have to pass it.
But they were taking volunteers and it counted as community service. And so obviously I love reading. Mm-hmm. And so I was able, to go in and assist with these children to help them read better. And it was a great opportunity for me. Like my son was in elementary. And so obviously I knew how important reading was, for a multitude of reasons, but I really enjoyed the program, and it was very sad when I could no longer do it because I, moved jobs. But they will tell you, and this is just a little side fact, but they will tell you that from second to third grade, that kids go from learning to read to reading to learn. And it's such a great growth for them from that time frame. And it's so awesome to see them move from one part to the other.
That's cool.
So And so for me, I guess that's the only thing I can think of, but I really enjoyed that. So.
I volunteered with one of my daughters. I've done different things. One of my daughter's second grade class, I volunteered to go in once a week, and I was a parent and I had a little reading group.
Oh yeah.
And we read The Bridge of Terabithia.
Oh, okay.
Broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like, we're letting our second graders read this heart-wrenching story. But then, of course, you've got Disney and Bambi and all right. that kind of stuff too. But anyways.
My turn?
Yes.
I can't think of anything, except I will say in the fall of 1981, it was October, I was away at Bible college.
Okay.
Out of state.
I went to Bible college in West Virginia, and I came home one Sunday, and there was all these college students there, and I'm standing in the middle aisleway, and I look about 20 feet away from me was this beautiful college girl with long, curly brown hair and exotic eyes. And I was just lucky to be in that place on that Sunday. And so I immediately met her, flirted with her, and she thought I was somebody needed to help me out.
I sure hope her name was Nancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he was some visitor because he wasn't part of the college group that I knew when I went there.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll introduce myself to this visitor or whatever. And then, yeah, I was like, okay, he's trouble. Somebody needs to talk to him.
The more recent one was I happened to be in the right place at the right time to tell Roger Penske he was in the wrong lane at yes. the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a yellow shirt at the racetrack.
Well, it was a good thing you were there.
Yeah. He was coming the wrong way. And I stopped him and I said, hey, Roger, did you know you're in the wrong lane?
So for those of us that are not aware of race car drivers, is he one of the drivers?
He owns the racetrack.
Oh. And he was in the wrong lane.
And he was in the wrong lane.
He more than owns the racetrack. He owns the whole racing league.
Yeah. Oh,
and he
Penske, owns, like the
yes, that
oil.
Penske.
Okay.
That Penske truck, leasing, the whole Penske. Anything Penske is Roger Penske.
I didn't make that connection. Yeah. Did he just look at you and say, it's my racetrack, I do what I want?
He's like, well, I said, did you know you were in the wrong lane? And he says, well, I do now.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we won't go any further with that. I try to keep my conversations or the things
so
that happened at the racetrack.
So that could be wrong place, wrong time.
Well,
maybe.
I'm still employed there, technically. Okay. Yeah. So it worked out. I wasn't sure I'd be employed the next day, but I was. So I think he was fine. I also sent a message through another guy to tell, what's his name?
Tony Stewart.
Oh.
Tell Tony Stewart to slow down.
I know who that is.
Yeah. He told Tony, he messed because Tony Stewart blew through your intersection somewhat, right?
He left my intersection, gunned it, and went just really, really fast. And I didn't know who it was.
Really fast, isn't that the point?
Right.
Not when you're on the racetrack,
the regular streets.
So he went really fast on a regular street. And so I'm like, I radioed ahead. I said, tell that guy in the gray truck to slow down. And when they did, it was Tony Stewart.
Could you imagine if he got pulled over?
I'm sure it's happened.
I'm sure it happened. I gave a race car driver a speeding ticket.
Yeah. Well, we had the state police come through my intersection a lot, and I would always joke with them because if they got in the wrong lane, I'm like, I'm going to write you a ticket. Yeah, they're like, yeah, right. Yeah. All right. Anyway, those are my right place, the right time. So, Nancy, how about you?
I can think of a scenario. So way back in the day in high school, I was at a youth, a statewide conference. We were in Evansville and I was, a group of friends of mine were at the hotel that evening. The conference was over. So we were doing like a scavenger hunt as teenagers might do. And as we were doing the scavenger hunt around the hotel, we got down to the lobby and look up and walking right into the lobby is the band Kansas.
Oh.
And so I walked up to him and I met Robbie Steinhardt, who was the violinist. He's since passed. Mm-hmm. Talked to him. They were lovely. I don't know if they were truly gentlemen, but they were two gentlemen, you know, really, they weren't like the typical rockers, like, you know, crazy right. and everything. And so, so right place, right time, happened to be at that conference in the hotel doing a scavenger hunt, and in walks the band Kansas. And I walked up and talked to him and had a very nice conversation, got their autograph.
You also seem to have a recurring opportunity to actually speak with Donny Osmond.
Yeah, that's happened, but that's been a little bit more intentional.
A few years in between, but
yeah, that's happened.
She's spoken
different
to
times.
Him at least three times.
So. Wow.
Yeah.
At any rate. All right. So we've done the random question. Now it's time for us, an hour and 20 minutes into this thing.
Wow.
To wind it down. And so I'm going to ask you, Nikki, how do our listeners find your books?
So right now they're only on Amazon. They are in Kindle Unlimited. I don't have audio. I do have Kindle copies, and there are paperback copies. They're not fancy sprayed edges or anything, just normal paperbacks. But right now that's only on Amazon.
Okay. Do you have a website?
I do have a website that's outdated because I haven't worked on anything book related since about 2023. It is,
Let me see if I, author Nikki Ray, all run together. Dot Wix site, WIXSITE.com.
Yes.
And, so. And Ray is RAE.
Ray is RAE, and it's NICKI because remember, there's two Nikki Rays.
Yeah. So author Nikki Ray. WixSite.com.
Yes. And again, it is outdated. I will get it updated, but
But people could go there to see what books you have out there.
Up to this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
And then tell us about your podcast, the name and where they can find that.
Go ahead, Crystal. You tell us about the podcast.
All right. So our podcast is called Book Banter with Nikki and Crystal. And that is Crystal with a K in case it doesn't come up once you get past Nikki. And we are on Amazon, Spotify, and
we're actually on a lot of channels, iHeart, pretty much anywhere you can get a
typical podcast.
Apple Podcasts.
We've expanded since the last time I asked about it.
Yeah.
See, here's the deal. Nikki handles all the technical stuff. I just show up and I sit in her garage and I talk about books for an hour and then she handles all of the handles all the difficult stuff.
Yeah. We're also on TikTok. You can find us NK Book Banter, and we have a Facebook page, which is just Book Banter with Nikki and Crystal.
So you're on TikTok. Do you do a video version when you do this, dude? Are you usually videoing yourselves?
So we have not done a video version. There is a site where you can pull snippets of your podcast out and put it into a TikTok video. I have not done that yet. We're relatively new. We've just, been around since about March, maybe.
Our TikTok is book hauls. Like, I did one after I went to a horror book convention at the beginning of August. So I did a book haul, and then we've done like the yes, the no, the maybe, like if we recommend books and things like that.
Okay.
But yeah. Cool, or cool. I'll share videos of, book news, because we do book news on our podcast as well. So anything that I see that I feel like belongs on our podcast, I'll share that as well. All right. Just a bunch of random stuff.
All right. Cool. Yep. Well, this podcast, that you're joining me here with is the Cutter's Notch podcast. I actually have two podcasts as well. So I know you have another one as well.
I do. It's on hiatus at the moment.
Hiatus.
Yeah.
We've had a few unplanned hiatuses for our podcast. But my other one is called Love Mentalism, and it's all about loving your neighbor.
Okay.
And loving God. Basically, it's about love.
Yeah.
So love mentalism. Loving versus
judging.
Yeah. Yes. Loving versus judging. And then there's this one, the Cutter's Notch podcast, which is all about creative people and creative stuff and books and movies and art.
Actors and musicians. And
my books are available. You can find my stuff on my website, which is www.authormicheldecamp.com.
Okay.
I'm on Amazon. I can be ordered through any bookstore. And I also have an audio book. So Abandon Hope is on audio. Just to FYI though, I've not done the rest of the series in audio because it's expensive.
Yeah.
So anybody wants to send me some money out there, I'll do the other books in audio.
Same.
The interesting story there is my narrator is also named Michael DeCamp, and he's not me.
Oh.
That's a whole other story.
Are you related though?
No.
Not at all.
Really?
He's an actor, stuntman, voice actor in Los Angeles.
Mike did one of those things where you Google your name, and he pulled up several Michael DeCamps and found one who was an actor.
Well, how interesting is that?
And we connected.
Crystal's, the audience can't see this, but Crystal's about falling out of her chair right now.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So we've got a whole podcast about that. So if you want to go look up my podcast with Michael DeCamp, that we talk about how that all unfolded.
Michael DeCamp squared.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's so interesting.
He's Michael DeCamp's cool, and I'm Michael DeCamp square. So at any rate, so you can get my audiobook. I'm also on Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah.
So ebooks, paperback, there's hardbacks available. Locally in Indianapolis, there's Irvington Vinyl and Books on the east side carries my books.
We don't live too far from Irvington. We might have to check that out.
Yeah. Fallen Leaf Books down in Nashville, Indiana has my books.
Okay.
And then I've been doing a little bit of cajoling with the local Barnes & Noble. At any rate, that's my stuff. I'm on Instagram, mdecamp1985. Find me there. So anyway, that's enough finding me. That's enough finding me stuff. So folks out there, we're going to each close out our podcast the way that we normally would. But thank you for joining us. Bill White here. Thanks, you for your post-production work. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
And
thank you, everyone, book friends. And we have had such a great week and such a great chat with you guys. And we will talk to everyone next week. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Your hosts have been Michael and Nancy DeCamp. Michael is the author of several fantasy thriller novels and short stories that can be found on Amazon or ordered through your local bookseller. Visit www.authormichaeldecamp.com to learn more. His most recent release, The Purveyor of Death, Doc Moon Book 1, is a classic young adult horror novel and the first book in a new series. It's guaranteed to keep you turning pages. Nancy is Michael's number one fan with a love and appreciation for creativity everywhere. The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. Subscribe to catch each new episode as it drops. You can reach us by sending an email to michael@authormichaeldecamp.com. Join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.